In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light we shall see light. For there is a river whose fountain shall make glad the city of God. The heavens declare your glory, and the firmament your handiworks. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. For there is no speech nor language where your voice is not heard. Your line has gone through the earth, and your words to the end of the world. You have set in us a tabernacle for your Son. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost, for causing us to enjoy the sweetness of your brightness, for nourishing us through your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.
It was a token of what was going to be established with Abraham. There are three persons, but they are one. Their persons are mere expressions of all that God was about, and they are pictorials of what God had intended. A man, Abraham, is a source. The man, Isaac, is a cause. The man, Jacob, is a flow. Just as when you look at the Godhead, the Father is a source. The Son is a cause. The Spirit is a flow. The same way Abraham, Isaac, Jacob are this expression of the Godhead. All the promises of God, all that God was up to, was established within these. The covenants of God were not precipitated, or they were not set on course until Abraham came to the scene. You see, the matter of the salvation is a matter of election and calling. Just as Abraham was called and was born, Abraham was not created. Abraham was born. Abraham is different from Abraham. Abraham was a child in Abraham. Is a God kind. In time. Abraham was not born by his father. Abraham was born by God. He said, this day, your name shall no longer be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. Anytime there is a name in it, means there is a birthing. What did God introduce in the name? It is life. The name is Abraham. I don't have time to take us through all the Hebrew alphabet to explain to us such expressions. But maybe some other time. There are many things to share. But when you pick the word Abraham, the name Abraham, the name was Abraham, which is father. Our most exalted father. But the name Abraham means father of many nations. It means a source. So I told you Abraham is a source. Abraham means a source. Lord, call Sarah. I'm excited in my spirit. Glory to God. Your fees has been set up. You are struggling to pay your fees. The Lord says, I've become your supply. You are here. You are scared to go back home because of the peace you don't enjoy in your family. The peace of God that surpasses every human understanding is garrisoning your heart now. I declare comfort to your home. There is no distance in the realms of the spirit. Right now, I stretch the right hand of fellowship and dispense life into your household now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And as I'm talking to you, the Lord will be dealing with issues. I may not address the issue, but as I'm talking to you, the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life. It's a mystery of divine communication. He knows how to direct the words, the soundings, to produce the results he wants to produce. That challenge in your body is being dealt with easily. Oh, that affliction will never be anymore. In the name of Jesus, I declare soundness in your thoughts, soundness in your mind. The things that God gave you, fear was not part. He has given you a sound mind. You enjoy it now. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So Abraham is called father of many nations. But you see, that name Abraham, he was Abraham. Then God gave birth to Abraham. How was Abraham born? He introduced the Hebrew alphabet. All of you say, H. Now, alphabet H is also hey. All things responds to hey. Everything responds to hey. That hey also stands for life. So what God was like, he introduced hey into the name Abraham. And Abraham became father of many nations. He introduced life into Abraham. No wonder Abraham, who has lacked strength to produce a child, received the energy to give birth. Sarah, whose womb had reached maturity, where you cannot carry a child any longer, who had passed the stage of men, oh, pause, could now receive sperms into her body and produce a child. How could she produce a child? Because hey was introduced in her name. She was called Sarai, which is the mother. But now God made it mother of many nations. Which is the word hey, the alphabet hey, which is the h, it's like the H, was introduced into the name Sarah, and she became Sarah. And Sarah, who lacked strength and capacity to carry a child, could now bear a child in old age. It is life. It is life, I'm telling you. It is life. When the life of God enters you, God has entered you. You lack the ability to be unable. You don't say, I can't. You take I can't out of your dictionary. Because the doing ability has entered you. The doing ability of God has invaded you. When the life of God enters you. So you see, Abraham was a type. But you see, this Abraham was born because life entered him. When life enters you, it means God has entered you. When God enters you, you become that which God is. That's why God could not take certain decisions without Abraham. The decisions that God would take, he needed Abraham to take those decisions. He said, how can I go into Sodom and Gomorrah without consulting my friend Abraham? Abraham could talk like God. When he went to defeat the enemies that came against Sodom, when he defeated them, and the king of Sodom wanted to give some of the spoil to Abraham, he said, take your thing, lest you say you made Abraham rich. He was talking like God. You see, God does not depend on anybody. God is sufficient in himself. Abraham became sufficient in himself because divinity has influenced him. The influence of God has permeated his system and his consciousness. He was a type of God. Abraham, father of many nations. So when Abraham was called out, the covenant came to maturity where it can shoot out. It got to the point where now the covenant can now be established. God could not establish a covenant with Noah because Noah's essence was to bring rest to the people. Noah was to bring rest. He was not called as a father. Generations did not begin out of Noah. He was not called the father of many nations. It is Abraham who was called father of many nations. Their callings were rested on Abraham. But as a father, he was supposed to be a source. Isaac was a curse. How was Isaac born? God told Abraham, for you shall give birth to a child. And Abraham laughed at God. God went to Sarah. Yes, Sarah, you're going to give birth to a son. Sarah laughed at God. God said, oh, you laughed at me? No problem. You give birth to a child and his name shall be called Laughter. Isn't God having a sense of humor? You come for church meeting, you found your face like this. You don't laugh. God even has a sense of humor. Now, laughter is an expression. Abraham was an expression. A cause of a thing is an expression of a thing. You cannot see a water body until you see the cause of the water. You may not know the source. You may not see the flow. But when you see the cause, you can see the water body. So a cause is an expression. Isaac was an expression. He was a type of Christ. He was the only begotten of the Father. Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. Then Isaac produced a child. It's called Jacob. You see, God did not begin to fulfill his covenant with Jacob until Jacob became Israel. Israel means a prince that has power with God. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the multiplication. The Holy Ghost gave birth to the church. It is in Jacob that Israel was born. It is in Jacob that a whole emblem of God, a whole community of God was born. A people of God came forth from Jacob. Covenant that God established with Abraham is a covenant in three folds. Oh my goodness. This covenant that God established with Abraham, one, it was a covenant that is tied to kingship. It was a covenant that was tied to a land. It was a covenant that was tied to a people, a priesthood. But you see, the fulfillment of this covenant was seen in Jacob, just as the fulfillment of the God's eternal covenant is seen through the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that brings to manifestation all that God had been intending to do. You see, Jesus, when he came as the expression of it. But the Holy Ghost was the flow that caused it to be in motion. That's why the church is not a monument. The church is a movement. Your vision must not be a monument. When your vision becomes a monument, it will be a statue and it will die. Nobody will be talking to it any longer. It will have no life. The church is not an organization with an inorganic part. The church is an organism. It's a living thing. You are the church of God. You are the organism of God. You are a being of God. Oh, Gaguzada Gabashe. So now, let's come to the man Abraham. We have understood the matter that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were a type of the Godhead. I'll talk about it for you. Talk about it when I get to Jacob. The blessings of Jacob unto his sons. So beautiful. It depicts the matter of the church. Everything that Abraham, Jacob talked about. You know, when Jacob, all the sons of Israel entered Egypt. The Bible never said Israel had entered Egypt. It was when Jacob entered. The Bible says, and Israel entered Egypt. There were people walking on this earth who loved Jesus, but the church was not born until the Holy Ghost came. So Jacob is an expression, is a type of the Holy Ghost pertaining to the administration of covenant. So now, let's look at the source of the covenant. There are three covenants in the Bible. We have the covenant of promise. All of you say after me. Come on, shout, covenant of promise. All right. So, there are three covenants. We have the covenant of promise. Okay? Then, we have the old covenant. Listen to me. The Lord really talked to me to share this with you. Because when you understand this, you will not struggle with the message of grace. People are fighting the message of grace because they don't understand this. Every time they teach the grace, all that they will say is, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Shall we? Didn't say, shall we continue to sin? Say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He was not talking about a doing. It was not even, the question was not even about. The question was about being. Shall we continue in sin? He's not talking about sins. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer in it? The teachings of Christ is not about teaching people to manage sin. Sin is not a company for us to manage. I'm dead to sin. So reckon yourself dead to sin. We are not in the business of managing sin. Reckon. You are managing addiction. Reckon yourself dead to it. So we continue to sin that grace may abound. When Cain was killing his brother, where was it grace that was breathed before he killed his brother? The gospel of grace is making people sin. The Malam Yaya, who is slaughtering albinos, is it the gospel of grace that's making him slaughter albinos? People fight the message of grace. Grace is a person, it's the solution. He came to give sin permanent head damage. He did not come to say to sin and say, sin, you know, I have come, so move away. No. The light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. It was not a battle, it was a defeat. It's not a battle. So when you are hearing the gospel, you begin to oppose it in your mind. You are fighting yourself from your rights. Because you see, What Jesus did on the cross, he did not really, you see, your sins were not forgiven free. It was paid for. Are you with me? Your sins were paid for. Your righteousness was paid for. It was bought. The wrongs you did, all the wrongs you ever do, have been paid for. That's when I can ask the question. You say that God, forgive me, forgive me. When he forgave you, were you born? When he said he had forgiven your past, present, and future, you were not past. You were in the future. So it means before you were born, all your sins were forgiven. It's not now that you will forgive your sins. It does not need your asking of forgiveness to forgive you. He died 2018 years ago. Where were you? Your grandmother was not there. So when he forgave you, you were not even born. So on the cross, Jesus did not forgive your past sins. He forgave your whole sins. Especially those of us in this day. So when you are fighting the gospel, you are fighting your rights, your inheritance. You are an heir of God. It's an heir. As long as the child, different from a servant, though he's the master of all. When we are talking about a baby Christian, as they say, it's not one who cannot pray. It's one who is tied to the law. You will study it in context because it's under this topic I'm treating. When we see someone is not matured and appeals. And appeals is one who is subjected to the elements of legalism. When he said subjected to the elements of this world, the element of this world was not government of Ghana. The element of this world that Apostle was talking about was the law and legalism, the traditions of the old covenant. Those were called the elements of this world. And the statutes of Rome. The elements of this world is the law. When I say the law, I'm talking about the Mosaic law, the old covenant, the law that sealed the old covenant. Because we have a better law. That law we have is not a code of conduct. The law we have is a person. His name is Jesus. It's called the perfect law of liberty. You want to clap, clap better for Jesus. You know? Amen. Now you see, most people don't know how to respond to the word. But I learned something from Abraham. You don't know how to respond. Some people don't know how to respond to the word. I learned something from Abraham. When you study the scriptures in Genesis, I think 12 or 15, when God came to Abraham and began to speak blessings unto Abraham, the Bible says, and Abraham, he went prostrate to the floor and he triggered God. God said, Abraham. He started releasing more. There is a way to provoke words from the spirit. There is a way to pull words. Your posture. You can pull words from the spirit. Now, God now came to Abraham. He wants to establish a covenant with Abraham. And this is where people begin to get it wrong. The covenant that God established with Abraham is not the same as the old covenant. God's plan is to have a certain arrangement. He wanted something to be achieved. All that God wanted is to have an eternal habitation. That is all. All your vision is to go to heaven. You have a long way to go. Because we are citizens of heaven. We are not trying to go there. We are born there. We hail from heaven. The destination of the new creation is not heaven. The destination of the new creation is Christ in expression. Let me explain. You have come to Christ. But he said, to the maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto a perfect man. It's not that you are not perfect. You are perfect in essence. But you are speaking of, Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 was speaking of perfection in expression. It's all about expression. Expression and expression. There are no new things. It's just expression. Expression and expression. All right? With the body of Christ for his expression. And we are his building for his eternal habitation. We are his building for his habitation. His body for expression. So all that God wanted to do was to have an eternal habitation. Was to have an expression. Was to have a place of dwelling. Where there will be a mingling, a fellowship. God was not interested in worshippers. He did not create you to be a worshipper. He made you to be his fellow. He made you to be his fellow. Hallelujah. I tell you, we are not followers of Christ. We are fellows of Christ. Christ is not an example we follow. He's an example of us. You are not a representation of God. You are a presentation of him. You present God, you don't represent him. When we say we are ambassadors of Christ, we are not ambassadors of Christ in the light that we are representing God. No. Like how we have American embassy representing America. No. When we say we are ambassadors of Christ, that doesn't mean you are an embassy of Christ. To be an ambassador of Christ, the word is presbyo. It means to be a presentation, one who administrates. Apostle Paul said, to make all men see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Hi, the word fellowship of the mystery, fellowship, comes from the word ekoinomia. All of you say ekoinomia. From that word, we have the word economy. Economy, it means the arrangement of things. Those of you that have done economics, to some extent, you understand. Economics is basically arrangement of things. So, when he says, to make all men see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? He's talking of, we see the arrangement of the mystery. We see the administration of the mystery. We see the stewardship of the mystery. And what's the mystery? The mystery is Christ in you, the certainty of glory. The mystery is not Christ. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is Christ in you. The hope of glory is that Christ is in you. The greatest, the peak of the gospel is not that your sins are forgiven. The peak of the gospel is that Christ is in you. It means Christ has become one with you. That's the peak of the gospel. And that's what God wanted to achieve. He wanted to bring us to a place where we are all together with him. Say the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a city. And that was, we are a city set on a hill. The New Jerusalem is a people. Some of you are giving so that you will have buildings in heaven. God is not poor. I'm building to build mansions. Oh, your mansion has begun. The foundation has been laid. No. God is not building in heaven with your money. What God is building is with the word. And in this meeting, this is how God is building the New Jerusalem. As we are sharing the word of God, we are precious stones being knitted together. When you are not born again, you are a dust called human being, made out of humus. The serpent was one of the cattle, but was cursed and brought low to be eating dust. If you are a human being, you will become a food for the adversary. Refuse to be a human being, else he will be eating you. We are God begotten. When you become born again, you become a precious stone. You are no longer a dust. You become a precious stone. That's what in Peter, he says, as precious stones. Precious. We are precious stones. Christ is the capstone. He's the foundational stone. And he's the cornerstone. And we are the precious stones which are being knitted together to form the eternal habitation of God. So God is building for himself a people. So when he comes to CC, we say God is building for himself a people he cannot make decisions without. Oh, shout it better. Yeah. So God is building something. He's building. And we'll read it in Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is the summary of the whole plan of God. If you get to understand Ephesians 2, you understand the covenant. But people don't understand Ephesians 2. When you read Ephesians 2, all the Bible is summarized in Ephesians 2. The Bible actually summarized in different chapters. Ephesians 2 is one of them. It's the whole summary of Genesis to Revelation. It summarizes it all. So what God wanted is an eternal habitation. So the New Jerusalem, there are no temples there. So stop looking for your mansion in heaven. You are the mansion. The New Jerusalem, there is no temple there because it is all temple. And it's built with you. You are a stone that he's using to build. So the moment you come and you are being built in the word of God, you're becoming a precious stone, needed to be fitted. You are hewn. See, you are a stone hewn out of the rock, which is Christ. Your source is not this world. You are not sex begotten. You are not blood begotten. You are God begotten. God begotten. You are not born of the will of the flesh. Your DNA is Christ. He's your essence. He's the element. He's your substance. He's your joy. So this is what all that God wanted to achieve. So to God, for God to achieve this, he must produce it in an orderly manner. So he first established a covenant of promise. That covenant of promise reveals God's eternal arrangement. And that was a covenant he established with Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant is the covenant that says God will do. The old covenant was not part of God's plan. God don't intend to produce the old covenant. The old covenant is an afterthought. It's a parenthesis. It's not part of the picture. It came in by force. It was man that introduced the old covenant. It is not God. God's plan was to introduce the covenant of promise and to be fulfilled in the new covenant. And then there will be a testament. But man introduced the old covenant. And we'll read it very soon. He introduced the old covenant. The old covenant says, I will do, do, do. You will do, do, do. Do. But the covenant of promise says, God will do. The new covenant says it is done. That new covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. It was not sealed with the blood of bulls and goats. The covenant of promise was sealed with a heifer, with a ram, with a goat. Oh my goodness, we'll read it very soon. And these are expressions of Christ and his work. And Christ came to fulfill all that. The issue of the goats in the old covenant, those ones were not part of the picture. What God planned was that he wanted the Israelites, you see, Israelites, to become the people who will be his representation in that time. Because in the fulfilled, will become his presentation. He wanted them to be his representation, to be the expression of his glory, the expression of his kingdom, the expression of his priesthood, and then the possessors of his land. That's what he wanted them to be. So that all men will be drawn unto him through them. He didn't want a priest, Aaron, to be a priest. He wanted a people of priests. He didn't want the Levites to be the priests. He wanted a people of priests. And you know, Moses was a Levite. Aaron is a Levite. The Levite, they took all the position. But that's not what God wanted. That's not what God wanted. He wanted all of them to become his expression in glory. So that we all will be drawn unto them through him, through them, unto him through them. But they had a different plan. See, they had a different plan. And they intruded God's cause. The Mosaic law was not established by God. As I explained to you, it was ordained by angels. Genesis chapter 15. Let me see your hand if you're enjoying. You're enjoying. Genesis chapter 15. All right, now observe something here. Genesis 15, verse 1, I read. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thy heir. Did you see? Abraham said, Eliezer will be my heir. God says, no, he will not be your heir. So per Abraham's decision, his heir is Eliezer. But per God's decision, his heir is not Eliezer. But yet, Abraham was not having a child. So you realize that here, Abraham had concluded that God, may have an heir already. God says, no, I'll give you an heir. Here he was showing that God, I'm not begging you for heir again. I have an heir. It's not that I'm going to teach another dimension of discussion in this topic. Oh. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Oh boy. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Hi. Stars. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur, of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer. So now, he says, God, what is the proof that I shall inherit this land? And now God went to explain to Abraham how he shall inherit the land. Instead of God, see, God did not teach anything straight. He said, no, what you should do is bring me a heifer. Okay? So bring me a heifer. Verse. Good. Of 3 years old. And a ram of 3 years old. Are you here? Oh, glory. Speaking tongues. Oh, speaking tongues. All right. And a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now you see that a turtle dove and a young pigeon are birds. This speaks of the heavenly reality of Christ. The heifer, and then the, what's his name? And a ram. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Heifer, 3 years old, and a she-goat. Now, the she-goat were used in the sacrifices. The heifer was also used in the sacrifices. But they are animals that labored according to their will. They are animals that represent labor as well. So it speaks of Christ's labor by his own will. But the she-goat actually is that which has strength. Has so much strength. And it speaks of the strength of Christ exude in that Levitical sacrifice he represented on the cross. There was so much strength that exude came out of Christ. It was all dependent on his ability. There was nothing of anyone that was included. It was Christ by himself that he gave up his own spirit. The she-goat has so much strength. The heifer represents subjection because it's the young cattle. It's young. It has not possessed so much strength. It's so much subjected. So it speaks of how Christ subjected himself. Are you here with me? Are you sure? Then, if you go on, he says, they shall be divided. That is cutting through a covenant. He said, for you shall possess the land by a covenant. But get to understand how the covenant was initiated. He said, you shall divide them. The dividing of these animals was the opening of them. The death of Christ shows how God became naked. He was stripped naked on the cross. God was so much naked for our benefit that we may be clothed with him. So they were stripped naked. They were divided into two. One was placed on the left. The other was placed on the right. You know what it presents? It shows that this animals that were used were satisfying two people. You see, anytime the animals were divided, when there was a cutting of covenant, when you divide it, one person takes one share and the other takes the other share. The division of these animals, and then there was a path that was created between. It shows that the path that was unto the Lord was for the glory of God. And the path that was unto man was for the satisfaction of the demand of justice against man. So Christ's death brought glory to God. Yet his death also satisfied the demand of justice against us. The animals being divided is a sign that they died. Christ died. They were all 3 years old. He speaks of Christ 3 years in ministry. Barako Shafa Bradesh. Roke Sabrata Kosheke Baba. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, speak to these brethren that their eyes will be open to these matters. They will no longer struggle in the issues of life. Because when the gospel is satisfied in them and settled in their consciousness, there is no pursuit of their selfless, selfish work. There is no pursuit of dead works. Your glory is revealed in all completeness. Now, these animals, the bird, the pigeon, and the turtle dove, were not cut into two. They were not divided. That shows that the divine life was not tempered with. He died fully as man. God cannot die. Then, there was a furnace and a burning lamp. When he got to the night, why God wait to the night? The night time is the time of darkness. It's the time that shows the gross darkness that covers the earth. It shows the thickness of sin and the offenses of man. It shows the moment where man's effort ends. During the day, man is working. Man is at work. During the day, man is still laboring. Man is trying to get some. Man is trying to attain something during the day. But God waited for the night to come. When man had finished his labor, where he could not achieve anything any longer. Abraham could not watch again. Because during the day, Abraham was working and trying to sack the vultures. But when he got to the night, where the vultures were not coming, Abraham could not do any other work. And Abraham was tired. His effort had been exhausted. All his strength had been taken away. And Abraham fell into sleep. A time where he was supposed to agree with God. Where he was supposed to take his stand in the covenant. And God would take his stand in the covenant. Abraham was asleep. That declares that, you see, Christ's work. It was in the fullness of time that Christ came. He came at a time where you cannot do anything any longer. He came at a time where all the labor of man has been seen. And man cannot do anything any longer to achieve righteousness. Then Jesus came. When man came to the end of himself. When he could not do anything. We've tried all our efforts. We've done all we could. The Mosaic law has kept us in bondage. Oh, men did nothing. They couldn't. They were destroying each other day by day. They were destroying each other. The divine life was not able to permeate anyone. Man had come to the end of himself. He could not do anything. Then now Jesus came. So when we were yet sinners, Christ came to die. When man could not do anything. When Abraham could not do anything. At the night time, then the Lord came. He came. As a furnace, that speaks of the fatherhood of God. And then he came as a burning lamp. That speaks of the Son. And he walked through. Remember, the flow is the Spirit. So the flow of the Father through the covenant that was cut into two was the flow of the Spirit. So there was the Godhead present that came through the covenant. But Abraham was asleep. Abraham was supposed to observe, to be a witness of the covenant. Abraham was asleep. It means the covenant was not dependent on Abraham. It was only dependent on God. And the Bible says, for because God, he could not swear by any other thing higher than him. He sworn by himself. He said, I, the Lord God. Let me tell you, he is the Amen. The promises of God are yea and amen. And Jesus is the Amen. He is the Amen. In Revelation, he's called the Amen. He is the Amen. And he is the one that sworn the covenant by himself. The covenant was dependent on God. That covenant of promise did not involve Abraham. That covenant of promise involved only God. All that Abraham did was he gathered the animals for the sacrifice. That was what all that man did. All that man did was that he nailed Christ to the cross. I see, Christ could have still moved from the cross because he was God. But what kept him there was the love. The nails could not keep him. It was the love that kept him there. He had you in mind. He said, for your sake, I must be there. For the sake of the day, I must be there. For the sake of Randy, I must be there. For the sake of Nelson, I must be there. I must satisfy the demand of justice against these brethren. I'm telling you, man of God, nothing is holding you. Christ satisfied all the demands of justice for you. So you could see that in the fulfillment and enjoyment of that covenant of promise, Abraham, all the wrongs he did not determine whether he enjoyed or he did not enjoy. It was determined by God. Abraham told a lie. He lied about Sarah. He did not terminate the covenant because the fulfillment of the covenant was not dependent on Abraham. Oh, brethren, I'm telling you, we have arrived. Hey, we have arrived. Kalabashanda labahaya. Boronde ketoshata. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. But you know what happened? In that moment, Abraham saw another vision. He saw the Israelites going into Egypt and becoming slaves in Egypt. But yet God was showing Abraham. You know, the Bible says, Paul said, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. We'll read that scripture if we have more time. The gospel, it was preached to Abraham. And this is how God preached the gospel. He preached it through all these means. Through the cutting of the covenant. Abraham knew that the covenant was not dependent on him. He had that confidence. That's why he could talk whatever he would say. Nothing was dependent on Abraham. He subjected himself to the Lord. The Bible says that for the fruit of the covenant was not according to the law, but was by faith. It was by faith. The promise was dependent on the faith. What is faith? Abraham subjected himself to all that God is ready to do for him. He did not subject himself to his ability. He subjected himself to the ability of God. And that's what faith is. Faith is you living not dependent on yourself. It's you living dependent on the completeness of what God will do for you. That's the possession of grace. The possession of grace. So he saw another gospel when he was asleep. He had a vision. Ah, dear Jesus. Then he saw the Israelites, his descendants, going to Egypt and being enslaved. But there was something beautiful. He said, for I, the Lord God, I will deliver them. The word deliver is the word to redeem. I will redeem them. When you read Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, he says, for I, the Lord, I shall come down to deliver you and to redeem you and to bring you to the land where there is the flow of milk and honey. He said, I shall bring you to a large space. I will bring you to a fruitful land. He said, I will come down to deliver you. Now, this speaks of God's complete work. He said, I will come down. He speaks of the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus. God came down. Heavens came down. And his glory filled my soul. Are you here with me? God, Jesus, who was not ashamed to find himself as equal as God. He did not see it as robbery to equal himself with God. Yet, he subjected himself unto death. He said, this is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was with God from the beginning. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. He went on further to say that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For the Word to become flesh speaks of the incarnation of Jesus. He said, for a virgin shall give birth to a child. He shall conceive and deliver a child. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God is with us. He said, oh, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be Pele-Yoez, El Gibor, Abiasa Shalom. Pele-Yoez, El Gibor, Abiasa Shalom. What is Pele-Yoez? Pele-Yoez means wonderful counselor, which means extraordinary strategist. The execution of a plan. I'm telling you, your life is the very plan of God. And if Christ is a wonderful counselor, the execution of a plan. Now let me explain to you. The Bible says that in Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, he said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him in glory. We have a life. Hey, he said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him in glory. You don't know how I look like. You don't know how your brother looks like. But when Christ appears, you shall see that we are twins. He said, he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are one. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brothers. The word brothers means adelphos, which is twins from the same womb. Twins from the same womb. Let me tell you, Jesus is your twin brother. He's not the only begotten from the dead. You are begotten as well. He's not the only begotten son. He's the first begotten because you were also born. Oh, of his own will he begotten us, that we must become the firstborn among many brethren. The precious, priceless possession of God. I'm God's choicest possession. I am God's choicest possession. Hey, I'm God's choicest possession. To them that he foreknew, them also he called. To them that he called, them also he justified. Ah, he said, oh, he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. You are one of them. You are one of them. You are one of them. Beloved, you are not alone. You are as Christ is. Christ is your expression. Oh, glory to God. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. So it means Christ is also the plan of God. And Christ is your life. It is God that does not have a unique plan for your life. No, your life is his plan. All that God is doing now is your life. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about your future. Your future is a settled deal in Christ. You don't have to worry about your tomorrow. Your tomorrow is a settled deal in Christ. Because Christ is your life. Sometimes when you look at tomorrow, you are thinking of how it shall be. Don't worry. He's called Peleus. The execution of the plan. He's executing your life. You may find yourself in a mistake. The Bible says all things labor together for your good. There may be wrong things. It may be by your mistake, but it will work out for your good. We don't have mistakes. We don't have mistakes. It may be a mistake, but it will work out for an exceeding glory in me. Come on, shout glory. And his name shall be called Peleus, El Gibor. Oh, what is El Gibor? The word El means God. That will have Elohim, God. Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R. The name actually was supposed to be spelled G-I-B-R, which is Gibor, mean mighty. But this time around, it was El Gibor, Gibor, B-B, which is double the middle radical. It means a word of emphasis. It means giving emphasis. Giving emphasis to a reality. That means that, listen to me, it means that Christ is not just God. He's not just might. He's the very mighty God. The very mighty God. The very mighty God. Bele your words. Wonderful counselor. Oh, the very mighty God. He's also the everlasting father. That is Abiyad. When you go to Israel, you hear children shouting, Abba, 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 Abba. Abba means daddy. Jesus is God himself. He's God the Father. The very mighty God. The wonderful counselor. The Prince of Peace. Listen to me. There is no other father apart from Jesus. You want to know the Father? Look at Jesus. But this Father did not sit in his throne and say, I am God and I'm not coming down. He took his steps, came down, entered the flesh, and became a human being. He became a man. He subjected himself so much to the pains of man. He knew that which he felt. Just as God went down to Egypt, the same way Jesus came down to us in his incarnation. The incarnation of Jesus is God coming down to us. It's God coming down to us. Egypt is a place of slavery. The Israelites were brought to a place of slavery. They were in a place called Goshen. It was a place for the slaves. And the Israelites were there. But you know something? God came down into the slavery place. He came down to Goshen. He came down as a slave as well. He subjected himself under the law, under the bondage of Egypt, under the bondage of this world. He kept himself in a physical body. God, who is omnipresent, just found himself in Judah. He could not go to Jerusalem at the same time. He has to walk to Jerusalem. has to ride on a horse. God, who can fill all in all, was now dwelling in a physical body. Oh God, who is the supply of life, can now be hungry and say, I thirst. Oh my God, he lowered so low. He came so low. He could say, I thirst. Oh God. God. Tell your neighbor, God. Oh, we are not here. Tell your neighbor, God. He never sleeps nor slumber. But yet, God caught himself asleep on a boat. God asleep in a boat. This is how he subjected himself. He did not go up, he came down. He said, for I shall come down. You can quickly go to Exodus 3:8. He said, I shall come down. He came down to Egypt. He came down to Egypt. He came down to Egypt. They know what he did. He brought them out. There's a sound there. He brought them out of Egypt. He said, and I will bring you out of Egypt. He went so much down into Sheol. He went into Hades. He went so low, subjected himself even unto death. He could have refrained himself from dying. He could have stopped himself from dying. But yet, he gave up his spirit. Nobody took it from him. He gave it. He gave it. He went so low. Jesus. That's how he went down to the Egyptians. And Abraham saw this vision during the covenant of promise. When the covenant was being cut, he saw this vision. God coming down to Egypt to deliver. I said, the way to deliver is to redeem. Then he said, I shall deliver you up unto. So you see, he went down, took us, and brought us up. He came down and led captives into captivity. When Christ ascended, we ascended with him. Listen to me. Talk about you being in Christ does not mean you are below. To be in Christ is to be above. He said, you that you are in Christ, set your mind on things above. The things above is not looking in the sky. It's looking in your spirit. Your spirit is the realm above. And Christ is the place above. When we entered Christ, we entered into the land above. But you know what he said? He said, this land is a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey. Tell your neighbor, milk and honey. Milk and honey. Milk and honey. It speaks of the two aspects of Christ. Though Christ is one, he has a two-aspect life. Two aspects. The redeeming life and the generating life. Now, milk. Milk is produced by cattle. But you see, milk producing cattle, a cattle also feeds on grass. When a cattle feeds on grass, then now the cattle produces what? Milk. So a milk is a produce from both animal and plant life. Then honey. Honey is found on flowers or in trees and is produced by a little animal called a bee. So you see, honey also is a produce of both animal and plant life. Now, Christ is our Redeemer. As a Redeemer, he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This speaks of the animal workings, the animal life of Christ. Oh my God, he subjected himself as an animal. As a lamb on a brazen altar of the cross and was stricken for our sake. He was dragged for our sake. He was nailed for our sake. When John saw him coming, he said, there cometh the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So as a Lamb of God, he's our redeeming life. He redeemed the old man from the dead. But listen, he did not end there. He also has the plant life, which is the germinating and the generating life. Christ has the plant life. He is our bread, our barley. A barley is a bread. Barley bread is a bread made out of a wheat or a millet. Okay, made out of wheat and millet. Millet is a plant. Wheat is a plant. And Christ, those wheat are made to form barley bread. It is used for satisfaction. Christ also is the bread of life. Bread of life. He was beaten, woven. It was made, baked. Baked for us. For our satisfaction. Baked for us. For our nourishment. So Christ, as a perfect land that we have come in, we enjoy milk and honey. We enjoy the redeeming life and the generating life and the germinating life. when you come into Christ, any death in you must receive life. You know why? Because you have the germinating life in you. When you come into Christ, you don't lack satisfaction because it's the bread of life that satisfies you. Let me tell you, brethren, you have come to a perfect place. You have come to a glorious place. Through the covenant, the land of promise has been occupied. When Abraham got to Canaan, he knew he had not gotten there. The Bible says, for he looked forward to a city whose foundation is God, whose maker is God himself. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come there now. We have arrived there now. Abraham saw when he got to Canaan, he knew he has not arrived. What he was waiting for was Christ. But for us, we are not waiting for Christ. For us, we are in Christ. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Oh, it has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. For God was in Christ, not counting our trespasses against us. Oh my goodness, God was in Christ, not condemning us. And he has given unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation is the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you see your satisfaction. When you hear the gospel, you know you are terminated. When you hear the gospel, you know you are not condemned. No, God has nothing against you. Oh, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, on the judgment day, God does not need us to say lie. He does not need one logo lie for him to judge us. No. The Bible says, for those who have not received the life are already condemned. It means those who have received the life are already terminated and justified. To be justified is to be declared not guilty. Justification itself is what the gospel is. Justification is what the gospel is. The gospel is a declaration of righteousness. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. He says, for the righteousness of God is revealed without the law. So the gospel is preaching without the law. Speaking of Christ without the law. Speaking of righteousness without the law. The law is not included in the gospel. The law is not a factor in the gospel. And that's what justification is. Justification is the declaration of your righteousness. The difference between justification and righteousness is this. Righteousness is the nature of God. It's the right standard with God. But you know, that one is class one definition. You want class two, come for YMS. Now, the part one. One class two, come for YMS. We'll take it further. Because righteousness is not just the nature of God. Righteousness is not just right standing with God. It is something much more. Tell your neighbor, much more. And it is for another time. Because when I want to start that one, it's a full message. I will take it to evening. But now listen to me. He says, justification is the declaration of your righteousness. So that's it. Justification is the declaration. But righteousness is the nature. So the difference between justification and righteousness is that justification is the speaking. And he says, for our justification, he was raised. Christ's resurrection was dependent on my justification. My justification could not permit Christ in the grave. Say, Christ, come out. Come out. Come out. So for our justification, he was raised. He was raised. Now you have been raised into a place of plenty. Abraham saw this vision. He saw this vision. Shout, rise on your feet and shout, I have arrived. Shout it better, I have arrived. And give the Lord a shout. And shout this. I'm in the place of plenty. I'm in the place of plenty. So this is the covenant of promise. The covenant of promise is God laboring for us. The old covenant was not part of the picture.
Uyema, you have made me a sanctuary, pure and holy. By grace and truth,
by grace and truth,
with your spirit, come on.
With your spirit,
I am a living sanctuary.
I am a living sanctuary. For you,
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We are built up by these words. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Time is now. Don't you wait another day. The gospel must be preached.